Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 2 of Could It Be Podcast. Where we left off at episode 1 was where I talked about how I found out about what we call breast implant illness. So I had seen the Facebook of a woman who'd shared her experience publicly on Facebook. So what happened at that stage? Some of the symptoms resonated with me, but then there was also this part of me that shelved the idea that it could possibly be breast implant illness that I was experiencing, because I never wanted to be without my boobs. I always planned to be, you know, the old lady in the nursing home with the perky boobs, you know, in my 80s and going around flashing people in my old age. But when I sort of thought a bit more about what this other woman was experiencing, it kind of answered quite a few questions for me. So I do have a track record for putting things off and for thinking maybe this symptom is because of something else. I have had surgery before where I was in pain for 4 years leading up to it, and I'll explain that in another episode when I talk about all of the operations that I have had. But basically, I put together a list of things that I experience. I actually had a look online to see some common symptoms that people experience, and a lot of them were what I go through on a regular basis. So a bit of a laundry list here, but what I'll talk about is the symptoms that I experience and how I pushed it to the side for that particular symptom. So first of all, hair loss is one. I can drop a lot of hair generally about 6 months after having any anesthetic. My mum does the same, and she did look it up online a little while ago, and apparently you go through, generally it's a hair fall stage, a hair stay stage, and a hair growth stage. And apparently after you have anesthetic, I can't confirm this, I'm not a doctor or a scientist, but you do go through multiple hair fall stages in a row. So my last surgery was about 5 years ago, I think, and I never stopped losing my hair after that. Around 2.5-3 years ago, my dad did get quite ill, and I did take on the responsibility of being his legal guardian. So I also put the hair loss back to, oh, maybe this is stress related as well. I have quite fine hair, but I've always had a lot of hair. But I'm at the point now that if I'm standing in certain lighting, you can actually see the top of my scalp. So in the, you know, the heat lamps in your bathroom, through down lights or that kind of thing, I can see my scalp. And that never was a thing, 5-10 years ago. My GP did refer me for some blood tests, including checking my thyroid function, because that can be a symptom of thyroid issues, but everything came back normal at the time. Another one that I experience is gut health issues and irritable bowel syndrome. Around 4 years ago, I started experiencing some excruciating pain in my abdomen. This was after my last operation, which had fixed a problem that I had, which was causing the other abdominal pain. One particular time, the pain was so bad, I was walking out of the office building that I used to work in. There was a cafe actually inside the building downstairs, and the gentleman from the cafe was packing up. I had to grab the wall and I nearly fell over. The pain was that bad. And he stopped to check that I was okay. And I remember, luckily I had driven into work that day rather than taking public transport, but I cried the entire way home because it was so painful and I had no idea what the problem was. I had seen a dietitian to talk about ways to eat to avoid any endometriosis coming back. I've had endometriosis in the past. And when I was talking to her about, sometimes I have a stomach ache and I notice it's after I eat cashews, for example, or there's sometimes where I do react a little bit funny to milk, but some days it's worse than others. And she actually said to me at the time, okay, you need to maybe look into excluding FODMAPs from your diet. And I did trial that. So I found that my trigger foods were garlic, unfortunately, which I love, onion, lactose in milk and cream, cashews, broccoli, cauliflower, any sweeteners that end in ol, so xylitol, I cannot have those. But now that I avoid those particular trigger foods, I do tend to manage quite well. So the next one on my list is joint aches. I am 35, so I thought, you know, once you hit your 30s, you tend to experience a lot more joint aches and pains, but mine's pretty constant. So I have constant hip issues, so that I have had bursitis and tendonitis in the past. lower back pain. My right shoulder in particular has been pretty bad over the years. And then just pains that can't be explained. I feel like I'm constantly complaining about something. And I'm somebody who moves as much as possible. And whenever I do have an issue, so if my hip flares up, I know that running and sometimes hiking can cause it to get worse. So I'll avoid those, but I'll switch it over to weightlifting or bike riding. So I'll always find a way to move, but I shouldn't be having to do that as often as I am. I just thought this was normal for me. The next one, kind of related to the joint aches, is muscle aches and muscle issues. So I was doing CrossFit for about 2.5 years and I absolutely loved it. I loved the strength that I gained from it. I loved the fitness that I gained from it. I loved that every single stride I took when I walked, I felt so strong. But it got to a point where no matter how many breaks I had during the week, no matter how much I stretched, no matter how much I looked at my nutrition, I was never recovering from my workouts. I went from doing 5 to 6 days a week to doing 3 sessions a week, but they weren't all CrossFit sessions. It'd be maybe 2 CrossFit sessions and an Olympic weightlifting session, all spaced out, you know, every couple of days. And I just never recovered. I got to a point where my muscles felt like they were going to tear, particularly through my quads. There was one day where my calf went pop out of the blue and I hadn't had any issues with it leading up to that. It wasn't tight otherwise. And I always felt like I was working around an issue, like whether it was a joint or a muscle issue. I was always going to my coach going, today this is my problem. And I was very lucky that I had some amazing coaches there at the gym, but I wonder how many times they go, what is wrong with her? there was always something. It was just, it shouldn't have been happening, but I just got used to it. The next one on my list, which was actually on the list of the woman that I found on Facebook, or that I came across on Facebook, dermatitis in my ears. And this has been happening for maybe 4 or so years, but it's been getting worse in the last year or so. They're itchy. There's like dry skin in my ears, which is disgusting. Nobody wants to hear this, but yeah, that was one random symptom that I had that matched up with the other lady. I also have ringing in my ears. However, I am somebody who goes to concerts quite often. And when I was younger, I never wore earplugs to concerts. So it may possibly be linked to everything else I'm experiencing, but it may also be the fact that I didn't protect my ears. I now do. I now wear specific earplugs for gigs and it hasn't been any worse since then. But yeah, that's another symptom that I have seen online that I have as well. I also have occasional psoriasis and skin issues. It generally pops up in winter. This has been happening maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, and it hadn't been happening before that. Whenever I get psoriasis though, interestingly, it starts around my chest and then it spreads from there. I can generally get on top of it with really gentle moisturizers and body wash, but yeah, that's been happening and starting from around the chest area in the last few years. This next one's a bit gross and I'm sorry, but in the last 6 months, I have had the worst body odor, particularly in my right arm. And some days it doesn't surface until when I wake up the next morning. But sometimes, like the other day at work, I wore a jacket as I was walking in and it was just like a weatherproof jacket type thing, nothing big and woolly and too warm. And by 10 a.m., I stunk. And I shower every morning. I do work out at home in the mornings. And like I don't shower before the workouts, but I definitely shower straight after the workout before I have to go to work. I tend to be somebody who can sweat a little bit more than others in the armpits, but I have never stunk until in the last 6 months or so. This doesn't change with what deodorant I use. I can use a clinical protection deodorant. I can use a natural deodorant. I can just use a normal everyday underarm spray and it's still bad. So that's another mystery one. Obviously, one of my best friends is a massage therapist and has said to me, your body's trying to get rid of toxins if you are suddenly stinking in the armpits. Another one that I have seen in these lists online is I have experienced some weight gain. This also may be because I like snacks, but it shouldn't have been happening to the extent that it has been in the last couple of years with the amount that I exercise as well. I generally try and stay healthy with my eating. I'm a bit of a chocolate person, but the weight gain, and it is quite difficult to lose weight, possibly could be because of this. My next one, and this one is quite concerning for me, so is it's brain fog and concentration issues. I lost my dad nearly 2 years ago to dementia, and the type of dementia that he had can sometimes be passed on through the family. So I'm mindful of that, and I do what I can do within my lifestyle to try and stave that off. But you know, if it's going to happen, it was probably just going to happen. So whenever I experience this brain fog, it triggers something in me naturally. So I've actually had to write a list down to talk about these symptoms today because of the brain fog and the concentration issues. So for example, I was in a role at my job last year where I was going to a lot of meetings, and I had to sit there and take my own notes throughout the meeting to keep my focus on what was happening then and there. Otherwise I'd trail off. And these meetings were genuinely interesting for me to be there and to be taking in that information, but I just couldn't stay on task unless I was taking my own notes. I do love reading, but I do struggle to finish a page without my mind trailing off. So I'm trying to find books that I am really interested in. And yeah, I still find that I have to reread pages quite often. Halfway through a sentence, I can completely lose where I'm going, what I'm talking about. That has also been a big thing after anaesthetic for me. And again, it's probably before the hair loss kicks in. So it might be about 6 weeks or so after having anaesthetic that I'll have really bad brain fog and pause halfway through a sentence and forget even what I was saying, let alone where I was going with it. That's my brain fog and concentration issues. The next one is fatigue. Again, I'm 35, so I thought, I'm not going to be quite as sprightly as I was in my early 20s. However, I do feel constantly tired every morning. It doesn't matter whether it's a morning where I've set an alarm or a morning where I've woken up naturally. I feel groggy and tired when I get out of bed, and it takes a while for me to wake up. When I was going to CrossFit, my alarm was set for 4:45 a.m. I was at the gym for a 5:30 class, and it was a struggle, don't get me wrong, but I couldn't even imagine doing that right now. What do we have next? I do find that in the last few years, I have started to look quite old and tired around the eyes. If you jump onto Facebook and search for any of the breast implant illness groups, when you go into the search results and you can see any photos that come up as part of those groups, a lot of women will post a photo of their eyes the day of or the day before their breast explant surgery, and then another photo sometimes within days of the operation, sometimes within weeks, but you can see a huge difference in around their eyes. They look quite tired and sunken in. The colour of their eyes can change, so the colour of their iris can brighten up, and their whites of their eyes aren't white before the surgery, and then they become a normal white looking eyeball after the surgery. So when I was younger, I had quite blue eyes. Now, and they're at a grey colour now, and I do have this sunken in dark sort of look under my eyes. That may be because I'm getting older and I just need to accept it, but it seems to have progressed quite quickly in the last few years. Another one I recently read about, and this is only in the last few days when I've been doing some research, is ocular migraines. I used to get these maybe once or twice a year, where I would suddenly see, it was almost like when you look into a kaleidoscope and you've got the colours moving and the tiny little fragments of colour moving. It starts off like that, and then it grows to where I can't see a face. I'll look into a face and I'll just see a big bright orb. I was getting those once or twice a year, and that probably started happening in my mid-20s. They've actually stopped since I've had a marina put in, but that was another random fact that I found. So it is a bit of a list, isn't it? I am hoping maybe by having the breast explant surgery that some of these might resolve. I understand that it takes time. When you do jump into any of those Facebook groups, women will say, look, give your body time to heal. It can take months. And what I plan to do is keep a bit of an eye on this list of symptoms that I experience and see what gets better, see what doesn't. And I obviously will continue to see my GP regularly to get to the bottom of things if it isn't resolved by breast explant surgery. So thank you for listening in to today's episode. I'm hoping to provide an update next time on seeing my specialist. Until then, look after yourselves and I'll speak to you next time. You can find me on Instagram on Could It Be II Podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tendale, for the intro and outro music. All the recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thanks for listening.